to Let's Talk on 98.9 FM. Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley have a yarn and a laugh about what makes a mob wild this week.
Well, what are you? Are you an Aboriginal or not an Aboriginal?
I'll identify this time as a black fella.
It's Wild Black Women on Let's Talk. And here they are. Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley.
Hey, good morning. It's Wild Black Women and it's Angelina from the studio and Sister Chelsea from home. She
hey,
has been
all the way
from Inala. We're going regional.
National tour starts today, people.
The national tour starts in Inala. And so it should.
Absolutely. Profile.
Before I get into explaining why this is happening, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we're broadcasting from today, including Inala Mob. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the surrounding Brisbane area and wherever everyone's listening into from today. So, yeah. So,
good morning.
How you going?
Well, look, I had been on the road for a good hour this morning. Mm. There was some sort of pipe blew or something somewhere on the Western Freeway thing. So the whole Western Freeway has been closed this morning. But we didn't know until we got like halfway there and stuck in traffic. And we drove all the way out to Ipswich to get out of it and then went, okay, I'm not going to get to work today.
Yeah.
And some kids got a day off school too.
Oh.
We can't get to school, so.
I can feel the cheesy grins from here.
Yeah, so there might be some kids fighting in the background of me screaming at them at some point during the show.
Awesome. Can't get any blacker than that.
Just as a trigger warning to anyone who might be shocked that a black woman may have some kids around her during her work time, because apparently it's really weird, according to Richard Wilkinson. Is that his name? Yeah, on Today's Show?
Hey, yes.
Guy?
Yeah, yeah.
The Ash Barty stuff.
Oh.
Can we? I know there's a structure to the show, but the...
Yeah. All the, like... the commentary about a sister sitting down and doing an interview with a baby on her lap, which was her niece.
Her niece. Apparently people lost it.
Yeah.
It seemed weird. And that's the thing, I was like, how many footballers are on the football field, not in the post-match interview, on the field, having their children thrown at them by the white woman in the stand? In the post-match interview.
Before the game even starts, she's chucking that kid at him like a football. And he's going, like, look what I did.
Multitasking. Not even.
Oh, my God. Their kids are over. Like, what? It's okay for men to flaunt their kids?
Well, apparently. But just the responses, I think it was, Rich Wilkinson, I was on Channel 9's Today Show or something like that. And he was like, I just found it weird.
Why is it?
When has he said that about footballers?
Never.
I just find it weird they're nursing a baby after talking about their football match. I wonder.
Yeah, let's not comment on his fathering skills.
I didn't even go there, but yeah. But we've got a fair. Can we do sporting news up front?
Yeah, cool.
There's a fair few things.
Yes, there's been a few things that made me giggle, sis.
Yeah, Auntie Margaret's got a bit upset. Can we come back to her?
Yeah, we'll come back to her. Auntie Margaret, gunnung.
Oh, that face too, those photos. Oh,
no, one thing that grossed me out, I mean, everyone, I just don't talk about, I don't follow Gridiron, so the American stuff. So everyone's going off about
the thing. I was wondering where we're going with this, about what's grossing you out in sport. So I was like, I wonder what the story is.
Well, there's two things. One thing's a serious gross out about that fella who was in the stands, supposedly supporting his team by going against the other team who has a Native American. Don't follow Gridiron. This is a Native American name or logo. But anyway, he's against them. He's standing in the stands with a severed head of a Native American person and a knife.
Oh, because the Chiefs or something, is it?
Yeah, the Chiefs, right? So
I saw the chanting by the supporters of that team.
What on earth?
Oh, my God.
A I just thought it was one of the most violent, disgusting forms of... That's just gross.
And is this not enough reason to get the whole why we should not be used as mascots kind of thing that Native American people have been saying?
For how long have they been saying it? Just
for some time.
Yeah, my God.
This is not honouring Native Americans when you've got their severed heads on at a football stadium.
Severed head? What? And he's got, you know, black face Native American, his form of paint up on his face. And then he's got, oh, he's come, not that we need to encourage his crap, but what does he say in his, yeah, that's me, the one who thinks everyone is equal and loves his country. People cry because they feel oppressed. Well, boo, yeah, I won't swear, boo hoo for you, grow up. What an intelligent comeback, mate.
Oh.
Oh, gross.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, just that image was disgusting.
Yeah.
But other than that, everyone else was talking about the halftime the halftime performance.
J-Lo did. I didn't even watch any of it, so I feel really bad. I haven't got any research done for this today. What did J-Lo...
I don't know. J-Lo
and who else?
People are upset because of how raunchy... No men, mind you, but raunchy the halftime performance was.
What did they do?
Oh, well, they got
any sausages popping out or what?
Well, there are no sausages popping out, but there's a lot of forks flying around.
Wow.
Mm.
Oh, them forks.
Well, you know, Jella's got a movie out about The Hustler, the strip club. So if you put two and two together, it was a bit of a promo for the movie. So she brought out a stripping pole on the field and she wrapped herself around it.
Oh, so people
are upset.
People are upset about it.
Yes.
Because...
I know, it was too much for them. I don't know. I didn't really care, mind you.
But the severed head in the stadium was okay or what?
Yeah, hello, let's not talk about that. Let's just bag two.
I'm really confused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's not talk about the outrageous, disgusting racism in the stands. Let's take down two really talented women.
I heard that people were marvelling at her age or something.
What annoyed me about the commentary was like, how amazing that these two women at their age can still do this. I'm amazed that any man can still perform at 40. Or over. Again, weird looks here from the producer. I mean, seriously, give us a break.
No, yeah, people aren't even having that. That's a conversation we need to have, though, isn't it?
Hello, I think that's a whole show, sis.
Okay.
Coming up soon. Pardon the pun.
I'm enjoying it.
But truly, I didn't know. I don't need to read that stuff.
Mm. Yeah, no. But can we talk football close to home?
Yes.
All stars.
The all stars
are
not.
Can we just talk about how we love these black men?
Hello, see?
For a change.
Growl them and
I'm loving
then...
them this week.
That's it. That's how we go. Growl them and then love them up.
They did good this week. They did good.
You got to tell them when they did good. They're not.
Don't say we don't give credit where it's due. We don't celebrate the feats of black men when they occasionally show them for the good of our people. sorry, I'm going to a dark place. But yes, what did they do, Ange?
The All-Stars game have announced this morning that they're not playing the national anthem at the game.
I will stand for that. Oh,
about time.
About time. How cool.
So no need to take a knee. Just cancel the whole thing altogether.
Well, I don't know why we're doing it. I don't know what purpose it serves. Apparently there's a whole lot of white tears from people who never went to the game in the first place.
Of course.
Like, if it doesn't affect you, don't worry about it. Let people be.
Yeah.
If it doesn't affect you, then why does it Yeah, why carry on about it?
I don't know. You know how they go.
Black people alone for a change.
Yeah, I know.
Be in this place. Let us have a football game.
Hey.
If you're not going to let us have our land.
Really?
We're not asking for much, and we're not certainly not getting much. So come on,
exactly.
Give us a break. And we go to these on our days off. So let us have our day off.
Exactly.
We're paying a ticket. We're paying for it. Not the taxpayer. We're paying for
Yeah, I know. I'm already wondering about the bets on about percentages of Meigs to blackfellas at the game now. It's going to be exciting.
Well, you've been in the stadium. It's blackfellas.
Yeah.
The concept was for us. And that's why they get so upset, because they're not used to things just being for us.
Yeah.
It's every time we exist in this place, it's always going to be for, but how will white people feel about it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not for you. You get everything else. Everything else you get.
The game is a bit of a Eddie Murphy psych moment with the ice cream. Hey, look at psych, want to lick psych? No.
I like that analogy, yeah.
Yeah, I know, that was good. Can I play? No.
I still think, I always refer to this, that first game and that first try, Wendell Saylor.
Hey.
In the corner post,
hey.
When he took out the corner post and played it as a didgeridoo while the rest did shake leg, that was a statement right there. We're changing the premise on which this game exists and which black people exist on that field.
Exactly. That was deadly.
It changed. Rules changed. The boundary's been crossed. It's ours.
Yeah.
Now leave it alone. But meanwhile, Your Auntie Margaret's
upset. Because she is being discriminated against.
Can we get the John McEnroe hotkey?
Wait there.
Oh, and I thought I was slow. I thought I missed those moments. But
wait,
no.
Here, look, it's not a real WW show if there's no tech problems. Here.
Okay, all right.
No, that's not the right one.
What is? Oh, dear. Talking about men performing. Sorry, I'm being cheeky. But no good. Margaret's come back after the whole statement that Martine and John did last week about suggesting a name change to her court, hey?
Yeah.
What did she say?
I knew I should have wrote down what she said. She said something around the lines that she goes, it's just gone out of my head.
Because people are feeling sorry for her now. When she come out. Because when white women cry, immediately people stand in solidarity with them, even when their tears are gamma. I've got the headline here.
Something Margaret about
court
she'd never changed.
She is the victim of discrimination.
Yes. But something about...
This is where you'd play You Cannot Be Serious by John McEnroe.
Yes, I know, but someone's taken it off my iPad, so I can't
press
it.
Oh, no. It's in the cart.
It's in the cart.
But never mind.
Cannot be serious.
There it is.
Because
Auntie Margaret is...
I'm sick of it. Absolutely sick of it.
She's sick of her discrimination. She said something about, even if I didn't like the person, I wouldn't take their name off a building.
In another person's country, too. I think she did this whole thing about, I wouldn't go to another country and tell them what. Hello, you're in someone else's country right now, Auntie Margaret.
Hello.
Aboriginal people.
Hello.
I just said that I was reading the news.com article, so she's claiming she's a victim of discrimination. And I caught some of the brekkie news during the week where people go, she does have a point. What I love is what John McEnroe had to say. And he said, there's only one thing longer than a list of Margaret Court's tennis achievements. It's her list of offensive and homophobic statements.
That's one of the very rare times that I've clapped him.
And he goes on, wait for this, he goes on and says, Tennis Australia is facing a dilemma. What do they do with their crazy aunts?
Crazy aunties.
Oh, you like, so it's Tennis Australia, hashtag yours. come get your auntie.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Bless.
I know, my mind, my mind went straight to, well, they got rid of Uncle Never Boulder's building, knocked the whole thing down and never renamed anything after him again in Brisbane. So,
hello.
Yeah, hello. It happens to us.
Make you wild.
Yes.
Never mind. We'll go to, you got a song for Auntie there.
Well, she's gone to war, so this is dedicated to Auntie.
On 98.9 FM. It's Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley.
Morning, it is Angelina Hurley from Central Drug Era Country in West End and Chelsea Bond out at Nala.
I got stuck in traffic and couldn't get in. yeah. Oh, I'm so glad though. I couldn't miss the show. I've got this is so much. I didn't have a lot of news stories this week because we've both been away at conferences.
I know, I'm exhausted.
We're going to talk about conferences because, that's a show. Again, part two from Anton's show. But I did try and cram for the show and go, what's in the news?
Yeah.
And I stumbled across some really, really important news stories that I just think, I thought you'd appreciate.
Mm-mm.
So as I was scrolling through just this morning, there was one Insta star's heartbreaking post, it caught my eye.
Really?
This heartbreaking post from an Insta star who turns out is a white woman who's wearing a bikini that's up her cheeks. And the whole story is that she announced her breakup with her man on Instagram.
So
it's a whole article. It's an article. What I think you would appreciate this story, Angelina, is not only because the heartbreak of a white woman is a news story with a headline, but as you scroll down to the story, it turns out this Insta star has made headlines before.
Oh.
In 2019 for a reason which would be close to both of our hearts. She got in trouble in 2019 with a controversial post that featured the bikini-clad traveller swimming in a sacred site in New Zealand.
Oh, God.
It was an iconic news story. It's really fascinating.
Oh, I can't even comment.
And as I'm scrolling, I find another one. Model asks for money to visit US boyfriend.
What?
Yeah, that's a news story. But this is my favourite, the one I found. And it's, yeah, news.com, so you know. But it's news. This one by Ashley Austin, who I'm presuming is a white woman. The headline is, I wore a pearl thong for the day and turns out Samantha Jones was right. Byline is, it was equal part chic and uncomfortable. And it's an article with Sister Ash's Insta photo and stuff, yeah.
Oh, bless.
That's all I got. That's all the news I got.
That's
white woman. White woman and their problems. Oh, there was one on about avocado and how someone made their avocado last longer. Yeah.
Fascinating. They're just full of fascinating news, aren't they?
They are. When they're not sending emails to black women, they're grappling with some major life challenges.
They are riveting. Yeah, yeah. G-strings and breakups and avocados. Oh, yeah. Thank goodness. Thank you. Yeah.
That's the news for you, Pete. You're welcome.
Goodness.
White women have been doing their thing this week. Look, I almost got taken out by white women this week.
No.
The emails.
Oh, by the emails, true.
Yes, by 1,000 emails.
Oh,
I'm not talking about one person, so don't say that you've been attacked by me. This is not one person. This is not one email. This is not one issue. This is all the emails that you get, all of them.
Okay, this is a question, sis. How do you decide? Because I'm good at just, like, not responding at all because I just can't be, you know. But it depends on what makes you decide to respond to something. Like, that's probably a silly question coming from me to you because I think you respond to every
not everyone.
But my point is about that, is that, you know, someone threw a question at me, which obviously was a statement, not really a question, and just her tone of voice made me think, you know what, you weren't really asking a question. You were purposely being, you know.
It was an act of violence.
Yeah, it was. And so I'm like, should I let this go? Should I let to play this game one more time? Or should I actually complain about it? So, and it's just tiring.
It's a daily challenge for black women. White women have their avocado problems. Black women have, who gets my energy today?
Hey.
Who gets my energy today? And I have decided that, I mean, I do a lot of after hours work, weekend work. I don't have a nice job that has a start and a finish date, a time. And so a lot of my time, a lot of my work time takes me away from my five children who I'm raising on my own. Thank you very much, white woman, and your cat. So I have
and
decided.
And
your G-string. I have decided, though, you're not getting my leisure time to do domestic work for you while you're enjoying your leisure time.
Mm.
So I don't do work emails on weekends. Mm. I may do my own writing, my own creative work, because that's in my time and I choose how to spend it. So I've had to be more thoughtful about not giving them my labour. And that sometimes means not even engaging in a debate.
Mm.
It means letting their toxicity go and go, you know what, I'm just going to leave you be. And you can weave your narrative that Chelsea is lazy, Chelsea doesn't get back to me. That you're going to do that regardless of what I do. Mm. The only people I'm accountable at the end of the day is to my five children.
Mm.
And so I just go, who deserves my time? Because even the act of resistance requires an investment of time. Whether it's compliance or resistance, it's still taking your time.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some that I have, you know, black people got that many cheeks we got to turn on any given day.
Tell me about it.
But part of it is to be able to say, I can't carry it. I can't carry the violence you're inflicting upon my body. So I've just got to put the shield up and just let you do your thing because they're not going to stop.
No.
They're never going to stop.
Yeah.
And I just let them be and keep doing and play on a different playground because we're not in the same playground. And what I find is when I'm away or when I'm doing something that's more important than what they're dealing with, they send more emails.
Yeah.
Because they want more of your time to do trivial stuff and not significant stuff.
And I want attention and I want a response and you have to give it now.
Yeah, and they're just taking your time, whether you're fighting or being nice. They're just taking your time. Because they want us to be their domestic still. They're still angry.
The power play. How dare you not, service me.
What, you have a life that's not revolving around me? Have you got the thing about that? You had shared this week that sister on that panel.
I know, this is a sister who wasn't going to take it.
You're not going to take it.
No.
Goals.
I hope Paul edited it properly because it was
Chris,
brilliant.
One thing that you said about Sarah Silverman.
I get the impression
that you take her work at face value. And I think that so many comedians who are really funny, I don't think she's making fun in any way, shape, or form about black people when she does blackface. Because those of us who know the history of blackface is that not only did white people do blackface, but black entertainers had to do blackface to get jobs.
So you have to be really white to make a statement like that. That is just the whitest thing.
It's a comment about how ridiculous we as a society can be.
Bro.
This is fun.
Can we not? I'm really not about to do this.
I've never walked out on Paul Mooney, so you have to give me a pass.
And you're a discrimination lawyer. Holy God. I'm going to go ahead and address that by saying, first of all, I can absolutely say that you're racist for being a white woman in effing 2014 or whenever it was she did this to put on blackface and go on television. Yes, I can absolutely call you racist for that. You understand the history behind it and you did it anyway. That is racist. I can say that. I'm a black woman. I'm going to just go ahead and take my word over yours on that. That's racist. And I don't like her for it. That is fine. No. It's fine for me. I don't. Where is my access to Sarah Silverman? I don't have to know what's inside.
All right, guys, you asked a question. Let the answer happen.
I don't have to know what's inside Sarah Silverman's head. I'm looking at her actions because her actions are what she's presented to me. She didn't put out a book called Sarah Silverman's Diary. Here, read my innermost thoughts and see how I came to these ass conclusions that I have today. She got on TV in blackface and decided that was funny, and it's not. And you, as a white man, trying to tell me that my feelings are invalid because I don't know her is a crock of shit. No, I don't want to hear it. That's bullshit. You don't get to tell me that the way I feel about that doesn't matter or it isn't real. And that's why I go on my show every week and say what I need to say, because white people like you think that you have a goddamn point. Sweetie, and I'm done.
And I'm done.
I played that 5 times. Crack me up.
Black fellas cop this every day, all the time, being told that what we feel and experience is not real, including we are not real.
No, I know. Like, totally erasing our existence and our emotions and our responses to stuff. Like, every time, I can swear that every time I'm at some sort of conference or a talk, there is somebody in the audience saying something not that racially extreme, but to a point where the Indigenous person on the panel or sitting up front has to come back to that stuff. And it's always, they're lucky our responses aren't that violent.
To me, that wasn't violent.
That's just the sister telling like it is, and she deserved to do that. But, you know, like,
even at conferences where the people in the crowd are critical race scholars.
I know. And we're also always accommodating, and it's like giving them an explanation of why this is happening and why we're about to say what we're about to say. And like,
well, I wasn't so much accommodating this week. I had some facials of me on panels.
Were you done?
I did do some work. I still had to come up and do the work and remind non-Indigenous black people and black and brown settlers about how they might think about how they're in relationship with Indigenous women who are also black women. And so, of course, we have the amazing Patricia Hill, Professor Patricia Hill Collins in the country, author of Black Feminist Thought. But I had these really interesting conversations during the week reminding other black women that Aboriginal women are black women too, and perhaps there is something that they might learn from us in being both race and Indigenous, which Morton Robinson has long pointed out for some time now.
Hello.
And many other female black scholars and thinkers from this place, Aunty Mary Graham, Aunty Lilla Watson, like, the, you know, who have a way of, there is something we can teach the world about what it means to survive a hostile and violent environment, and both then and now. And so just, you know, going to these conferences where people do acknowledge country and acknowledge the land as being Aboriginal land, but they still can't see Aboriginal knowledge in the room. So the thing that helped me get through this week was the amazing Aboriginal woman who I got to sit in conversation with and share panels with, sit in an audience with, and who just got it and who celebrated each other. So if we can we do a song for Aboriginal woman?
Hey.
Aboriginal woman, she's a deep
Talk on 98.9 FM. It's Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley.
Hey, we're back. Good morning.
We're back.
Hey, we're back in black. yeah, just go back a bit, sis, to that, put context to that Chrissy West, who actually has a podcast called The Read. Sister made me want to listen to that more now, so I'm going to check it out. But just the point of that conversation there was that Sarah Silverman, a comedian in the United States, had quite a few years ago did blackface on TV, and that guy was questioning the fact that why, you know, he was very losing the argument about why that should be considered funny. Yeah, not. And Sister set him straight.
No, and this is the thing. People are free to be as racist as they like. But when a black person says, hey, that's racist, even in a sophisticated way, in an intellectual way, makes the case, placed in a historical context, the silencing around that, the attempt to dismiss it. So, you know, everyone's happy to, there's a sense that you can't be racist. No, you can. Really, yeah. All the time, every day. What you can't do, apparently, is call it out.
Yeah, that's right.
And as a black woman and someone who plays in critical race, I can't tell you the number of times I've had to deal with white women editors who've insisted on changing the central argument or not publishing my work despite the 180 footnotes of the person's own text. Yeah, there's this whole lot of stuff that goes on here that people aren't aware of, and they see that outburst of I'm not playing with you anymore, and they don't see those a million emails that we're dealing with from early career Laura insisting we can't do our scholarly work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm wild. In a week. I was at a critical race conference.
Yeah.
But you were at a better conference. I should have gone to yours. What did you do?
Yes. Well, you know, considering that my studies and my writing and my thesis is in humor and comedy for focusing on, you know, our stuff. There's this many years ago they got a hold of me and I spoke. It's Australian Humor Studies Network. They have a network of academics who talk about humor and laughter and there's so many different forms of it. And I was just like, really, actually, I was having this conversation with our brother, Leon Filewood, who I got to talk at the conference yesterday. But I was like, what, really, that exists? That's a thing? And it kind of amused me. But as I do, I participate all the time because, you know, having our presence there and a voice from our perspective is always important.
I'm gonna come next year, so long as next year you do your Welcome to Country properly.
Yes, I know. I do a Welcome to Country, not like everyone else. There's no fire. There's no dancing. There's no feathers. There's no singing.
Someone raised concerns that it wasn't like what they used to.
Yes. I think someone sort of, you know, they politely tell you that they like your Welcome to Country, but obviously someone that they saw do it. It was really nice the way they welcomed us, and I was just like, okay, well, that person probably did a little crobbery for you.
And
bought some accessories from the local Aborigine store and little chucked in some language words. So, yeah, that was lovely for you. Yeah. This is not my Welcome to Country. Mine's a lecture.
I think we need to put the memo out to all settlers, new and old, black and white, you don't get to get up having acknowledged the country you're standing on and then critique the Welcome to Country.
You aren't the people who get to give it, so you don't get to tell us how to do it.
All you got to say is thank you.
Yeah, that's
thank
it.
Thank you.
And you're lucky you've been thanked. You're lucky you've been welcomed in the first place.
That's right. Just say thank you and you'll get your welcome.
Hey.
And if you don't, you might get an email from Angry Angelina.
Hey.
Send it, sis.
Oh, my God. Send that email.
Yeah. Exercise your sovereignty.
I know, but this is, hello, I mean, my, you know, this is a another massive talk about Welcome to Countries for the Protocol show, trying not to detract from our conversation, but, you know, like, people forget that, you know, and welcome bars aren't automatic. I don't agree with that you just get to automatically be welcomed here without ever having met us halfway.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's my point of view.
Mm,
so we'll talk about that another time. But yes, it was a humor conference, and Brother Leon stood up and very graciously talked about his practice as a performing artist, a comedian. So that was good. And I spoke about the comparisons, the parallels between Native American humor and comedy in ours, which is so similar, it's not funny. It's, you know, reservation humor, everything, colonization 101. So, yeah, it was really fun. That was good. But the funniest moment was Leon, Brother Leon and another brother there, Reza, who I've added on Twitter already. They're a little bit shame afterwards, but they were actually very polite, professional people, those two brothers, and very considerate and courteous. And so Leon wanted to tell a story, but he said, you know, I tell this in stand-up with the, you know, the group of comedians that he hangs out with, but, like, he was a little bit worried about telling it to a room full of academic white people, so he was running it past us first. So he said, I don't know whether I should tell this story. It's just about, you know, it's a booty joke, so I don't know how to say it. And then, but he kind of had to be there, but the serious conversation surrounding the use of that word just cracked up.
I mean, I don't know what the decision they came to, but I think you can tell a booty joke using the term booty. If you tell it properly, people know what it is.
Yeah. And but Razor was actually going, no. He goes, we've had, you know, a couple of talks, you know, touching on some, you know, in your face stuff. So I think it's okay to say penis. And I just lost.
Who's saying that?
By the way they're talking about it, you had to be there. It was pretty funny. So, you know, I'm a Murray. You can't say four words in front of me, crack, dot, buru, and whatever else. I'll just lose it. I'll just laugh.
Let it be known, I'm seeing buru.
But I reckon, just go for it. Go for it.
Now, speaking of comedy, because I was doing some research cramming last night, I caught up with ABC Black Comedy, the first episode.
Oh, okay.
I missed a lot of season three. I saw bits and pieces, but mostly online, because no one's watching TV these days. We're watching the clips online on social media. But I actually watched on Ivy last night. You know what struck me?
What?
Well, firstly, there was one skit that wasn't funny. It was true. It was the horror story. It was a skit around black fellas entering into higher ed and the exploitation of black kids by Indigenous units and stuff. And I'll be careful how I tread here, but this is a thing across higher ed, across the country in this indigenizing moment where there are KPIs and all this agenda to embed Indigenous knowledges to increase recruitment and retention, you know, economic incentives for PhD completions of Indigenous students. It is a business. Of course, Indigenous people now are becoming a part of that business in a different kind of way than what we were, say, 40 years ago. Where we were just the subjects of study and never meant to come into these places. And so I just think that skit is a really important one to open up a conversation about what is happening right now in this indigenizing moment to black bodies in these institutions.
Yeah.
And the importance of black leadership in higher ed to think about how do we change what's going on right now. And I think it's a real concern. The only thing objection I had to this skit was they actually didn't have any black fellas from the institution that were engaged in resistance. So they reinforced the idea that Indigenous characters were agentless, certainly those that operate within them. And so someone who works in higher ed, I'm aware of its exploitative possibilities, but I know every day I'm doing work to undermine that as a black person, because my obligation is to those black kids more than the institution. And so that was my only thing. I was kind of like, I think it's a really clever skit in terms of showing what telling a truth right now. And good comedy should be truth telling.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. It should be. It shouldn't be derogatory or mockery.
So it was good. I think people in higher ed need to be looking at the skit and asking themselves, "Hey, we're a joke right now, and a really sad joke in terms of what's happening to our young people by these institutions." And as senior black fellas in these places, we have an obligation to protect our young fellas.
Yeah.
And I know I had the benefit of that protection from senior black fellas, whether they were fellow classmates or those working in the Indigenous units at the time, who looked after us in a good way. But the other thing that struck me really quickly is it's a Queensland mob.
Of course.
It's all Queensland fellas. Queensland humour is different. It's like, you know, just like we all got our own dialects and accents and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Humour is regional in a black sense. There is not one black comedy in that way, not the show, but in that way. There are different kinds of black comedy or black fella comedy. And what struck me was that there's so many Queenslanders have been involved in this show, and I just wonder, when will we get to a time where we can see some black creative work coming out of Queensland in Queensland?
Hello, it should have been. It should be developing out of here. Going out there and at the risk of getting in trouble. Murray's been holding up the arts industry for a long time.
And if we are serious,
they've been travelling down south and doing that for years, not just in comedy, across the board, man.
Exactly. So, but if we are serious about the significance of place culturally, then in the process of creative works and the production of it, then we have to think about what's happening if it's only coming out of predominantly one place.
Yeah.
And this is not just a thing to Sydney mob. I mean, they're going fine and they will be fine. There's a vibrant creative sector there. But where is the room for the production of black creative work in places outside of there that recognise the integrity of our work? Because, you know, we've got in trouble from people who didn't like what we have to say, and this shouldn't be how the system works.
No, of course not.
That if you get offside one senior person, that then the opportunities you have are suddenly cut.
Yeah. Welcome to my world, Chelsea.
You know what I mean? Like, at least in the academy, you go for a research grant, you can actually say, look, these people can't assess it because there's a conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Or, you know, and you can protect yourself. You have some protection around people being able to abuse the power they hold within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We got slapped for any commentary we made about Black Bitch.
Yes.
And we got censored.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's something to be said and a conversation to be had around, how can there be a space for black creative work in places other than Sydney that can exist independently of how someone in Sydney feels about it?
That's right.
Just a question. Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend.
And I can ask a question because I have a day job, at least now. I don't know how much power these people hold, but at least I have a day job in the academy for a moment. But, you know, if you're exercising your power to silence the creative works of black people, then maybe you shouldn't be in the industry.
Hello. But that's been a question that's floated around for quite a while.
Because you can exist. Black people can exist. We can all coexist.
Mm-mm.
We can have critique of black creative work, and we should have critique of black creative work. Like, I know we're strong enough for that as black fellas.
Yeah, we're definitely strong enough up here for it. I don't know why.
We're confident up here.
Hey, I don't know.
I just think because I was at the Chorus Conference and I was reminding Mob that, you know, how, you know, extremely racist Queensland has been in terms of overtly, explicitly racist, like no shame kind of racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just out and proud racist. But that has also produced some of the most courageous artists and academics and activists around race.
Mm.
Because of the place that we're in. And so I just wonder how then we can invest in producing creative work in those places from which those creatives come from, rather than moving them to another place to create it from, because it loses its integrity.
Yeah. Or having those other places dictate how that creativity is expressed here. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's just a thing. Noongar's doing really good. They got some deadly stuff happening over there, and initiatives for them. So maybe just because of location, but, you know.
I'm excited about the different kinds of blackness, not just one blackness, because there isn't just one. Different kind, good ways.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting part of it, I think, about blackfellas' creative work, intellectual work, is how we are different as much as how we are, how we can come together under these kind of one umbrellas. But, yeah.
Mm.
Are you going to go for a song? I'm going to cut that song out and have a go for time.
We have got 5 minutes left. Any Wild Black Women end of show nominations?
Oh, I've got a nomination.
Mm.
My nomination goes out to Arnie Brumman Penrith.
Oh, Arnie.
Yes. I was at the Corazza conference and Arnie came up and said, I'm a fan. And, you know, that is, for a black woman, the best compliment ever you can get is when an auntie says she's a fan.
Yeah, I know. I've known Arnie for a while. Hello, Arnie. Is she listening down there in New South Wales? I hope so. Yeah.
That just does our heads in because, you know, auntie status is something.
Yes.
Some proper, respected and to be revered. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And, yeah, so she listens in a car.
Oh, solid.
In the car to hear our Wild Black Woman nomination out for her. She came along to support some of the black women who are presenting at a Corazza, which was just proper, you know, when you have the backing of aunties that are there in that room to hold you.
Yeah.
And so had Sister Rose Gilby come all the way across for the conference. And I just watching her, how proud she was to be speaking in front of family coming into that place. So, it was so nourishing just having, lovely to. But it's funny. I'm like, I said, you're a Penrith because them dimples.
Mm-mm-mm.
That face. I've never seen your face before. But she said say hello too. So, that's my Wild Black Woman nomination for
cool. This
week for me. Who you got?
I don't know, but I think because I've been, too... too flat out and stuff, but that international Sister Chrissy West took it out for the year, I think, so far.
She's going to be hard to top.
Yeah, she is.
Can we get And I'm Done as a hotkey?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to listen to that again and pull a few out, I think.
Yep. But, and I'm done.
Yeah, and I'm done. And maybe is that we're done for this
one? What song are we going to go out on? Did you want to set the scene for this one?
I just picked this song because I couldn't believe that it was number 100 in the original 100. And when I heard it, because I, you know, shamefully hadn't heard it before, and I just loved it. It was like deadly, so I'm just wanting to give it another run.
Okay. Well, I'm going to see you next week, hopefully in the studio. If
yes.
They fix that first pipe or whatever.
Hey there. Yes, well, I hope you make it out of an hour. See you next week.
See you.
Upon in this world, one indigenous group or another has once lived there before for thousands and thousands of years. One of the most intricate and respectful ways to inhabit that place. We need to remember that. You're on indigenous land, original clans. Since beginning of man, countless years out on this land. Living so grand, aligned to command. Intrinsic alarm, never disband. 60,000 plus. Following law before this sight of hand. Through the seasons and sacred plants. Injurious storms for many lives spent. From the desert down to the clay pan. Tropics and mountaintops, swamps and oceans. Sanctified beaches, no equivalent. Swept with the tide, deeply advanced. Warriors pose so poised in a stance. Out of wisdom, truth never by chance. Sorcerers, elixirs, and transcendence. Standing in love across every expanse. Message sublime, it's in the hands. Breathless from beauty from all that expands. Infused with the magic, majestic and grand. Murder your mind, thought of cool land. No more body, call it the band. Koko, yalanji, bangarang. Yong yo pai, mirana, brungam. Yota, yota, unwarang. Where is it you standing, man? Whose land you standing on? Know the history, know the facts. This indigenous land that you are on. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was.
Indigenous land, oh grace repeat. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, oh grace repeat. Lest we forget the frontier wars and the genocide blueprint that does live on. That's in custody, it sees no more prolific than ever forced by big guns. Still they gallivant and they brawl bust. Children again and again stolen. In the blink of an eye, they get with us and then they are gone. We still amidst all these storms, 230 years gone. Village in score, culture ignored. Fictions insidious adorn. All of our sacredness shaken and sworn. All the while on indigenous land, we are living out that lies upon. Does your mind realize the song? As they post in subliminal dawns. From ancestors on the rise on. To do not belong. A perpetual cycle of wrongs. It's been glorious, we will time bomb. But yeah, all of our kingdoms still here, still live on. We still countless original, limitless indigenous nations. To no broken chain of law. Ancestors sing a law. They giving us more. Endlessly, they giving us more. From the desert to the shore. They delivering law. They singing the law. For forevermore. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be.